And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to the new era of eloquence and exposition. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West. Live, local, on location at Merced Church of Christ, deep in the heart of the Central Valley, offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. I am your host for this half-hour journey into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Greetings and welcome to the program. Glad that you tuned in. I came across this story just a second ago. No, Christians should not believe in left behind's rapture theology, says prominent Christian philosopher. This is on the Christian Post. Morgan Lee is the author of this article. Several months before Left Behind opens in theaters, a prominent Christian philosopher is reminding the American church that the movie's claims about the rapture are false. The doctrine is not really found in the book of Revelation. If you read the book of Revelation, you won't find any mention of the rapture there, said William Lane Craig, research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology and professor of philosophy at Houston Baptist University. Instead, Craig says the idea of the rapture comes from a misinterpretation of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, where Paul is describing the coming of the Lord and resurrection of the dead, which will occur at his coming. Look, I'll post the link to this. You can read more if you're interested in that. I bring it up just to say, yeah, I've been saying that for a long time. I did an extensive study through the book of Revelation via this podcast. It's all available on the website. Just click on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll see a number of links on the right-hand side of the Live from the Pulpit podcast website. Now you scroll down to the categories, click on Revelation, and boom, everything's there. I've gone through the entire book chapter by chapter. We're looking at about 12 solid hours of teaching. And yeah, the rapture just simply is not there. It is unbiblical. So all there, all available, all free, as you know. Well, again, I just bring that up to remind you, I've already been saying this. The rapture is wholly unbiblical. Tim LaHaye has done a great disservice to the Christian cause with his Left Behind series. And not just Tim LaHaye, there have been others. Harold Camping came on the scene. He's the late Harold Camping now, but he thought the rapture was going to occur back in 2011, was it? October? Well, it was May 1st, and then October and all that, and he flat missed it. Yeah, rapture theology is all over out there. Greg Laurie, and he's got the Harvest Church or whatever. He's got television, radio programs. He's very much in favor of rapture theology, I'm persuaded. A lot of these denominational pastors are. You're going to run across this a lot in a number of churches. Baptists are particularly in favor of rapture theology, but it's simply it's as William Lane Craig rightly says, that theology, that doctrine is based on a misinterpretation of not just 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Revelation, the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, and a number of other prophecy books. Jack Van Impe, John Hagee. These are guys who are prominent. They've got TV, radio shows, and yeah, they're all about the rapture. By the way, in case you're just coming to the game, the rapture is the idea that God will send Christ back, and at the second coming, he will take the church out of the world. And so Christian airline pilots, they're not going to be there to fly those planes, which are flying at 30,000 feet, and those planes are going to come crashing into the ground. Cars are going to crash into each other as Christians are taken out of this world. Clothes are going to be left behind and left with all of the non-Christians, non-unbelievers are going to be left here, left behind, while the church is raptured from the Latin rapture. They're going to be taken up out of the world. Again, it's based on a misinterpretation and a misreading of 1 Thessalonians, particularly chapter 4 and starting in verse 16. Yeah, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. That works against your silent rapture crowd, because there are some who say it's just going to, he's going to come and no one's going to know it. He's coming with a lot of noise, for one. And the dead in Christ will rise first. So we're talking about resurrection, how your premillennial rapture friends will, and that's, rapture's part of the premillennial doctrine. Premillennialism being the idea that Christ will come and return for the second coming and the rapture of the church before the millennium happens. The millennium, by the way, Revelation 20 is where you can read about the 1,000-year binding of Satan. But all of Revelation, highly figurative, prophetic, apocalyptic type language, not intended to be literal, okay? Verse 17, though, is really 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. There's the caught up rapture. There's what's going on there. That's where they build their doctrine. And from there, yeah, they build on it with Revelation, Daniel, prophecy in general, all over the Bible. That's, again, where they get their doctrine. As William Lane Craig says, I'm in complete agreement with him as far as rapture doctrine as a misinterpretation and a misreading of the scriptures. So, Left Behind, that's the new movie coming out starring Nicolas Cage. Oh, you didn't know? You haven't heard? This is late breaking news for you. Welcome to the program. Left Behind, based on the New York Times bestseller, coming October 3rd, The End Begins. Starring Nicolas Cage. Anyway, enough about that. Let's shift gears. Because this came out Sunday. Different story now. This from Breitbart.com. Gay leaders upset by low CDC population numbers. Quote, political influence matters. This put out by Austin Roos. Hat tip, Breitbart.com. Gay leaders are expressing alarm at the just-released numbers from the Center for Disease Control that place the percentage of Americans identifying as homosexual at only 1.6% of the adult population. That would mean the total number of gays in America is roughly 3.8 million, roughly 1.5 million less than the total number of American Methodists. Scout, who goes by one name, a spokesman for CenterLink's Network of LGBT Health Equity, told the Washington Post, "The truth is, numbers matter, and political influence matters. Most Americans believe the population of gays is exponentially larger. I would ask you, my devoted listeners, what did you think the population was, the percentage of Americans who identify as homosexual? What did you think? Before I just told you, 1.6% of America's population, the adult population, only 1.6 are homosexuals. What did you think it was? For almost half a century, Americans believed a number produced by disgraced sex researcher Alfred Kinsey who claimed 10% of the population was gay. In recent years, Gallup found that a majority of Americans believe the percentage of gays in the population as 25%. The same poll found younger people put the figure at 30%. You know where we get that idea? Not just from disgraced sex researcher Alfred Kinsey, but the homosexual crowd seems to dominate Hollywood and television. I mean, just think of the programs that you watch on a regular basis that feature prominently a homosexual. A homosexual is a star of the show, or a homosexual is one of the key players in that program. Just about every show on TV has at least one gay character, if not more. A number of actors. And it seems like there's an increasing number of actors, actresses, musicians, artists who are coming out homosexual. What was it that dominated most of the reporting concerning the draft? Where's Michael Sam going to go, the first openly gay player? A lot of what comes out for the sports reporting, breaking news, players come out as homosexual. Jason Collins in the NBA. It goes on and on. And so, yes, it's no wonder that many Americans, a majority of adults, believe that the population, the percentage of gays in America, is at 25-30%. And that's where your political influence comes in. That's what Scout is talking about there, about political influence. If there's so many gay Americans, and that number seems to be increasing all the time. It's gone up from 10% to 25-30% in recent years. More and more people coming out. Ellen Ruthstrom, president of the Bisexual Resource Center in Boston, said, "It's just going to make it harder for us when we're going out talking to people about the bisexual population. We have a real hard time already with people not taking the bisexual identity seriously." Well, there's just not very many of you, Ellen, to be quite frank. Only 1.6% of the adult population, and they're upset about this reporting. They're mad about the truth. The truth coming out and having its day in the sun. Did you hear this reported anywhere else, by the way? Any other news agency, major news agency, breaking this story? Did you hear it on CNN? Fox News even? 1.6% of the adult population, 3.8 million. And yet they carry a lot of political influence. I'll post a link to this article as well. Here's the thing. What are we talking about this for? Well, whether we're talking about a person who holds to a rapture theology, or we're talking about a person who is struggling with the sin of homosexuality, what needs to happen is a conversion. A conversion from error to truth, from a conversion from sin to righteousness. That's what needs to take place. And you see, a lot of people, because they've come under the belief that homosexuality, you're born as a homosexual, it's your identity, it's who you are innately, The leopard can't change his spots, which simply is not the case. It is a behavior. It is a learned behavior. And I believe the research is heavily in my favor concerning that. Homosexuality, homosexual behavior, bisexual, transgender, lesbian behavior, what have you. It's all learned behavior. In many cases, it's triggered by an early childhood incident of abuse, or being introduced very early on to sex, sexuality, sexual practices. Again, what needs to take place is a conversion. And it's the same thing that's true for a person who has bought into this rapture theology. Tim LaHaye needs to repent, needs to turn loose of the error that he has propagated and promoted, and come to the truth. The truth is that when Jesus comes back, that's all there is. When he comes back, he's coming in judgment on individuals, and everyone will stand before the great white throne of Christ and will give an accounting. We need to stop performing script torture, all you left behind proponents, and hold to and champion a sound hermeneutic when it comes to prophecy. You want to know what that looks like? Listen to the study I've done through Revelation. And oh, by the way, not that I'm championing Nick Perez or anything like that. There are a lot of smart guys out there, and I pull from their research and their study to put forward what I believe is a better understanding of the book of Revelation. Not this sensational, literal interpretation of the book of Revelation, but what I believe is sound and sober and in keeping with the context of Revelation. Revelation wasn't written to an audience 2,000 years in the future. Now, we can learn from it, but it wasn't written to us. It was written to a group of Christians in the seven churches in Asia, Asia Minor, Ephesus, Smyrna, Philadelphia, Laodicea, and the rest, about things which are going to happen in their lifetimes and were probably even happening right then to them and what they should do. And so, yes, a conversion needs to take place. This is a spiritual thing. A conversion is a spiritual change when man decides to cooperate with God. What has God said? Repent. And this is a direct word to the individual. You individually need to repent. Whole groups of people can, certainly, but it's directed, the word of God is directed to the heart of the individual. And God says, repent. Man cooperates with that and decides to turn. Turn to God, turn to truth, turn from sin, turn to righteousness. And when we do that, sins are blotted out. We are told in Psalm 19 and verse 7 that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's what the old King James says. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so, yes, we need to be converted. We need to turn to God. And there are a number of instances in the Bible where people are converted. They have this spiritual change. This spiritual transformation takes place. And they become a different person. One that comes to my mind is King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 9. When Saul turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. That's the language of conversion. And oh, by the way, this is a work wrought by the Spirit of God. If you back up to verse 6, 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. God gave him another heart, turned him into another man. That is is a great description of conversion. And oh, by the way, that's Old Testament. We, under the New Covenant, have something more profound. I have in recent times come under fire for my convictions concerning the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. I am persuaded that the Spirit of God, working in sync with the very Word He inspired, is able to bring about great and significant change in the heart and mind of the individual. It looks kind of like this. Luke 19. You know the story about Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, and he was rich because he was a fellow who extorted people. And he has an encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus goes and has Jesus in his house. People start grumbling about this. Zacchaeus stood, verse 8, says to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." That's a man who's been converted. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." That's another example of conversion. You want to talk about great transformation, again, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We know that Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2, read the whole thing there. We know we're supposed to be changed into different people. We're supposed to look different. And that verb, be transformed, is a passive voice verb. And that means that this is something that is done to us. We cooperate with God, don't get me wrong, but it's something which is worked within us, and I am persuaded the Holy Spirit of God does that. Even as He did it in the Old Testament with King Saul, He does it under the New Covenant as well, and we look like different people. Is it any wonder that Peter, a man who was engaged in unholy behavior, becomes a man whose very shadow heals people? Acts 5 and verse 15. We're talking about a man who had engaged in sailor talk back in Matthew 26, verse 74. He's converted and becomes a different man. And how about Saul, a different Saul? Not the king. No, the man who would go on to become the apostle, Paul. He goes from an overzealous, church-persecuting, Christian-hating, bloodthirsty persecutor to an overzealous, church-promoting, Christ-preaching, Christian-loving brother in Christ, Christian, apostle. Yeah, only God, by the Holy Spirit, working in the inner man, can bring about that kind of change. He can do it regardless of what your sin or error or iniquity or transgression may be. He can change you. But you need to hear the call of Scripture, Acts 3 and verse 19, and you need to answer the call of Scripture. Repent, therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. More in a moment. This half hour brought to you by Christian Book Distributors. You know, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study. And especially if I'm going to be able to discern error from truth. I go to Christian Book Distributors, where you can get all your Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices, with a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, books, both classics and contemporary works, and of course Bibles. CBD is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for over 30 years.
And now it's time for the question of the day. Question of the day. Question. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
How can we know truth? How can we know truth? Well, one way is to be fully convinced that God has spoken, and indeed God has spoken. In the past, he spoke to the fathers, but in these last, at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Yes, God has spoken, and what God has said has been written in understandable language, understandable words, and the Apostle Paul makes this abundantly clear that God has done this in 1 Corinthians 2. Beginning in verse 12, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand the things freely given by God, and we impart these," what, the things that are freely given by God, in other words, what he has said and what he desires of man, "we impart these in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual." And indeed, as Paul says over in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we can read these words and we can understand these words which God has spoken. He says, Ephesians 3, verse 3, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Yes, when you read this book, the Bible, the things that have been written by the apostles, these things written down in words which are you're able to understand, when you read them, Paul says you can understand even the mystery of God, which he goes on to explain in verse 6, as Jew and Gentile reconciled into one body, that one body reconciled to God. The Bible speaks about the knowledge of truth. We can know truth. Jesus says as much in John 8. And verse 31, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Can you know the truth and the truth set you free? Jesus said you can, absolutely. And if Jesus says such a thing is possible, then it must be, because Jesus, of course, is God in the flesh. He has come as the one sent by God in order to reveal truth to us. And he does that certainly in his life. In these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, and he sent Christ into the world to make truth known. It's no wonder that the Bible says, "Seek and read from the book of the Lord." God intends for you to pick up this book, the Bible, and to read it, and you can understand it. If you read it, you can understand it. It's not so difficult that you can't. It's written in plain English, translated from the original languages. Even if you can't read, you can certainly hear and obey what you have heard. Over in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 8, you have a crowd of people, many of whom perhaps were illiterate. And Nehemiah and the rest of the priests, they're up there reading from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so the people understood the reading. And of course we know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Even if you're deaf, you know sign language, you can learn what is required of you. You can learn the truth. How can we know truth? Because God's spoken it, and he's recorded it in words that we can understand. And we can read these words, and we can understand them. Jesus told us you can know the truth. The truth can and will set you free. Well, I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit, like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with a podcast, update the blog, or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you can see all of the Question of the Day segments that have been recorded there. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop at the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, now Philippians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Life from the Pulpit, and download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio and other resources to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.